to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Rockman Show, I'm back again, and we got more interviews this week. We got John Robert from Crystal Lake coming your way here in a bit, but I figured I would get around with you for a bit, talk about some stuff over here and over there and everywhere. But what you think of that song? Little Arch Enemy, brand new Arch Enemy, just released today, and that song was called To the Last Breath. Very cool. That new vocalist, her name is Lauren Hart, and she was in a band called X Human. I'm not familiar with Once Human. I don't know if a lot of people, at least in the U.S., may be familiar with them. I don't know. We'll do a little research on them, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Arch Enemy real quick. They started off with a male vocalist, a guy named Johan Leva. Johan was in the band for about 3 to 4 years. Yeah, about 4 years. He leaves. And after that, it's just like girls. You had Angela Gassow. Then you had Alyssa White-Sklutz. And now you have Lauren Hart. So I think that they got to a point where like, hey, it's easier to deal with a chick. I don't know. I have no idea. They do have, like we talked about last episode, lineup changes. Lots of lineup changes. This new song's pretty brutal. I hope you guys dug it. I really dug it. I always wished that they would do something with Johan again. I like those early records with Johan. And if you're not familiar with like early Arch Enemy, I want to play something for you. This is one that really, it was kind of cool. They were like this kind of band that came out in probably mid to late 90s. 96, I think, was the first record, Black Earth. And they had this melody, this melodic Swedish, or Swedish melodic death metal. But they had these melodies where you feel like you're kind of listening to Whitesnake, but with a growly voice. I shit you not. I mean, heavier, of course. But the solos were so melodic and so cool. You're like, holy crap, I love this. Or at least I did. And I was a big fan of Johan. And the last record he did was Burning Bridges. I want to play a song off that record. It's called Silverwing. Let's do it. We'll be right back. hear that again. The melodies. Did you hear the melody, people? Holy shit. So cool. You're like, how is this so heavy but so melodic? That was the beauty of this invention of Swedish melodic death metal. You got the melody of, like, you know, melodic hard rock from the 80s, but brutalized with this brutal-like sound and these brutal vocals. I mean, Early in Flames, Dark Tranquility, Arch Enemy. These bands invented a sound. It was so cool. And for me, it's so cool to see that Arch Enemy's still around. You know, when Johan leaves and they get Angela Gossow, you're like, oh, wow, how's this chick gonna sing death metal? And she did it. She killed. I just remember seeing her live, and I'm like, how does this little woman get these growls? But now it's kind of a thing. But back then, they were like trendsetters in a way. There was nobody out there with like a female vocalist that were growling like that. And now they're a dime a dozen for the most part, but they're innovators. They really are. And I think they found that formula, like, well, hey, if we gotta have a hot chick up here singing rather than some guy just singing and growling, maybe, you know, think about it. You bring in more women if they've got a women vocalist. I mean, the guys are gonna like, oh, wow, she's hot or she's not or whatever. But there's a chick up there, and the girls might be like, oh, wow, I want to be that one day. Some younger kids, you know? I think they had a good marketing plan doing that. And they've stuck with it. They had Alyssa next, and now they have Lauren. Again, not knowing anything from Lauren Hart or her band Once Human, I tell you what, I searched up a song, and this one's called Erasure. So let's see where she came from. Was it majorly different from where she is now with Arch Enemy? Or kind of the same league? My guess, same league. Let's do it. John, what the fuck? Dude, I didn't want to fucking hear Erasure. I wanted to hear Once Human and their song Erasure.
Simple mistake. Sorry.
We'll be right back.
Fuck, that's more like it. John, you fucking idiot. What are you thinking fucking erasure for? A fucking mistake? Dude, we don't play that shit on the show. How is that in the database?
I have no idea how they got in there.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't. Just like the Village People and all that other weird shit you listen to.
Those are fucking classics, motherfucker.
Whatever, dude. They weren't my fucking classics.
This is dumb music.
Yeah. I don't know music. I think I do. Anyway, what's human? Just like a call that I figured it would be very similar. She sings a little bit clean in the beginning of the song, but then she gets really growly. And that's what, Arch Enemy does. So she's got a growl or she wouldn't be in the band. So I'm kind of wondering if they will bring in a little bit of that more melodic, more clean vocal with her, like they did with Alyssa. They didn't do that so much with Angela. They did a little bit, but not that much. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes and what the rest of the record sounds like. But just reading a little bit of this article that Michael Amott says, hey, this is the sound I've always wanted. This is the true sound of Arch Enemy. So does he go back to the early days with Johan and just go more just all, growly vocals? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see and to hear. I will say I'm kind of interested to see these guys live. So I have seen them live before. They always kill. But with this if the new record's really good, and the last one they did with Alyssa was really good as well. So I love it. I mean, 1996, I think they started. And here they are in 2026. How many years is that? I got to count on my fingers. I think 30. And they're still killing it. And that's great. I love bands that can still write great music after a certain amount of time. A lot of the bands I listen to now that are older, it's just like, I don't know. I'm not real sure that you should be writing new music. But at some point, I guess the old school fans are going to say, hey, I need something new. I'm tired of seeing the hits. Unless they're going to pull out a bunch of deep tracks live, then is it really worth going? I don't know. Here we are. We're talking about Arch Enemy, not, some of these other bands that I'm referring to. Not by name. So anyway, I'm thirsty, Mr. G. Back on the Elvis kick?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, whatever. You're right up there.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a little bit of a lake up here.
I didn't need to know that. All right, let me get into this beer. We had enough of John and his nonsense. Let me pour this thing. I've got a cool one. I will tell you what it is here in a minute. And this is a hazy one. Wow. I know you're shocked. I'm not real sure what to expect. So far, so good. Looks beautiful. This is the TDH Geometric Galaxy from North Park Brewing Company out of California. Going back to Cali out there, right? I don't see an ABV. Yeah, I do. 8.5%. At this hour, I shouldn't be doing this, is all I'm saying. It's a school night. I gotta work tomorrow. What am I doing? Let's be honest here. Let's be serious. The beer actually looks really great. I actually went to North Park a couple years ago when I was in Cali. They're on the outskirts of L.A. And I think they're technically still in L.A., but they're kind of on the outskirts of the downtown area. The beer looks amazing. It's pineapple golden yellow in color. There's a lot of head on this bad boy. The lacing's not really sticking to the glass, but the head's not. The retention's there, man. It's not moving at all. So let me give it a whiff. All right, hold on. Let's look at the can. Gotta do the can. So it's like a solar system of sorts. I see Saturn or Uranus. Some other shit going on here. Not bad. Pretty cool. Little label. Aroma. It's funny. I brought the can to my nose. I'm like, hell yeah. It smells awesome. So let me smell the beer to glass here. Oh, yeah. It smells really nice. Citrusy. Spritzy. That's a word, right? That's a spritzy, mate. Very spritzy. I don't know what that means, but it's effervescent. It kind of smells that way. Let me take a drink. That's nice. It's more full and creamy and juicy than I thought it would be. That effervescent smell made me think it'd be kind of watery and thin, but it's actually kind of rich and creamy. I dig it. Let me one more drink. Oh, that's nice. Kind of a bitter, earthy finish. John, you know what to do.
Done and done.
All right. Hell yeah. Got another great beer. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. This is more booty from my friend, Mike. So thank you, Mike, if you're listening out there. Appreciate all the beer you get me from the West and East Coast. Both places. So anyway, I tell you what, let's go into a song here. It's a band that I really used to like a lot, and then they fell off the radar. And I guess they just put out a new record, so I've got to look into that a little bit further. But they're very cool, and it's kind of on the theme of the band that's going to be interviewed at the end of the show, a band called Crystal Lake, kind of in that same mindset. But this is a heavy show, people. We start off with Arch Enemy, and now we're going to Miss May I. And this one's called Die on the Vine.
I awaken from the coma, wounded, lamenting, breaking in two. No perspective, changing the focus, righteous direction, valley in view. Stare a hole through the sun, giver of life. Show me the world.
That will miss me. I die in the vine. Very cool. Again, we're pretty heavy tonight, people, and we're gonna stay heavy. Well, right now, I don't know. I want to talk about something real quick. We do have a great interview with John Robert from Crystal Lake that's coming up here shortly. Before we jump into the interview, though, I wanted to bring up something that I observed, and you're like, oh god, Ragman, another bathroom story. No. This is music related. I've got other stories for you for another time, but not tonight. Tonight, we're going to stay music. No stories about people doing their thing, and I'm like, what is going on? What is happening? No, not tonight. So anyway, I was thinking about this because there's a song I really just kind of discovered from an older band. Well, not that old. They're a newer band, but it's an older song for them. I'm like, that's really cool, but there's got, where's this origin coming from? And I'm not sure if there's other bands that have done this in the past. I guess, yeah, I guess you could say, I think it was Toni Basil. She had that, oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind, oh, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind, oh, Mickey. Ooh, oh, Mickey.
All right, thanks, John. I appreciate that.
I'm a pop.
But, you know, when did cheerleading become a thing in rock and roll? I guess you could say Toni Basil was rock and roll, or she was pop rock or something. It wasn't just like pop sappy shit, but it was a catchy song. So I started thinking about heavy bands that have done kind of a cheer like that. There's anthems and stuff like that, but I'm thinking more of a real cheer thing where you've got like a chorus of girls singing like cheerleaders on the sideline at a football game or maybe a basketball. They don't really sing the basketball, but yeah, it used to be at football games. So the first band I thought of was Marilyn Manson. And I can't believe I'm going to play Manson on my show. Not a huge fan, but I always liked this song. It's probably the only song I've ever liked from Marilyn Manson. But it was cool because there's this chorus in a song called Mob Scene. And it's C, obscene, mob, whatever. But it's called Mob Scene. And I dig this song, and it's been a long time since I've heard it. And yeah, it's still okay. But I got, the part that's catchy is the actual chorus with the girls singing Mob Scene. So I tell you what, let's play some Marilyn Manson for the first time on the Ragman Show. Let's do it. Singing the Mob Scene thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a Manson fan, but I always liked that song. The video was kind of cool. It was like a freak show thing. And I don't know. The rest of the song is meh. It's okay, but yeah, I always liked that chorus. I was like, oh man, it's one of those choruses that kind of stick in your head. And that's what I'm saying about these cheerleader songs. And I've only picked out two tonight to talk about. I'm not sure if people are really going to enjoy this, but I find it fascinating. So, oh God, look at this.
What are you looking at, motherfucker?
Why are you wearing a fucking cheer skirt?
It's kind of a theme. I got my pom-poms too.
Okay. You're done. You're done. I don't want to converse with you anymore tonight. So anyway, the song that made me think about this is from Bring Me the Horizon. And this is a song that's been out for a bit, but when I heard it, I was like, fuck yes. It's heavy. It's the song's like, yeah, it came out, I think, around 2016, something like that. But holy crap, this song's great. And it starts with the cheerleader thing and then gets heavy. And I love Bring Me. I think I've talked about that on the show. I went and saw him last year with a dickhead on my back. And hey, it's a long story. You know it. You heard it. I tell you what. So let me show you my other example. And this is the better song of the two by far. How about a little bit of Bring Me the Horizon? And happy song.
I see.
Again, by far the better of the two. Big Bring Me the Horizon fan I am. And love it. I love it. It's just so that S-P-I-R-I-T that it gets in your head. You're going to listen to it and you're going to like, fuck you, Ragman. Now it's in my head. Hey, because you're going to listen to my show like 4 or 5 or 6 or 20 times because you enjoy it so much and I appreciate that. I know I'm full of shit. You probably maybe listen once. If you haven't shut it off by now, you're still here. Thank you. Because we got a great interview coming your way. But before we do it, one last thing. I forgot to do this last show. And that's my Shazam feature. Let's do it. Come on, Gomer.
Shazam.
All right, this week. Actually, this was a few weeks ago. I'm trying to see when I Shazam this thing. Crap. Hold on. All right, February 8th. Today is the 19th, so 11 days ago, I was somewhere, heard this song, and I'm like, hey, this is cool. I have not listened to this song since I Shazammed it. So I'm not sure if I'm going to hate it after I put listen to it here in the show, or who knows, maybe I'll dig it. I don't know. I'm really curious to see how you guys like Crown Lance from a couple shows back. Because I was really impressed with that band, and I actually liked that song, and I put it on my Spotify playlist. Very cool song. Kind of that Rush vibe. So tonight, we're going to do one by Ray LaMontagna. Fuck, I didn't even say this guy's name. LaMontagna. Ray LaMontagna. And this one's called Shelter. Let's all listen together, see if I fucked up, or hey, maybe I found a new artist. Let's do it.
Shazam!
Yeah, I deserve to get my balls busted, but I will say this. I had to go back and look where I was on the date that I heard that song. And I'm trying to think how it worked out. I was with my girl, and we had gone to see the Super Bowl at, like, Ice House. It was a really cool, like, Ice House. Like, a big... It's got this big area, like outdoor, and they got the big indoor. They got a bunch of beer on tap. Very cool place, especially to hang out or to, you know, watch a football game or any kind of sports. Very cool. So I'm not sure if I Shazammed it there or somewhere else. That's a mystery. But if I was with a girl, maybe I was in a mood, I'm like, oh, it's kind of a romantic song. And, you know, actually, I will say this. Listening back to it, it's kind of a cool song. I thought it might have been with the Metal Munchkin. And we were just kind of hanging out and chilling and talking. And it was great background music. Am I going to crank that song in my car? No. Is it going on Spotify? No. Is it a bad song? No. It's actually okay. I don't hate it. I think it's pretty good. And again, it's for me, that's like background music for me. I don't know. And that's the great thing about Shazam for me. And I explained this when I started this feature, was like, whatever mood you're in, a song might strike you. And you're like, wow, I dig that. And you might go back and you're like, oh, fuck, that sucks. Or I found a gem. That one, I like it. Am I going to go do all the other stuff? No, I'm just, you know, one and done. But hey, not a bad song. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening every week. Thank you for your comments when you send them. And I just want to tell you, I got a great interview. I've told you like 4 or 5 times. I'm not shitting you. This guy's the shit. John is awesome from Crystal Lake. But before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big hose.
Hey, guys, this is John Robert from Crystal Lake, and you're listening to the Rag Man Show. Enjoy yourself. Horns up, motherfucker.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman, Motto E Motto, with this guy. I don't know how he can even talk to me because he's like the whole. Oh, I just blew out everybody's speakers. I can't do it. He can do it. But I'm talking to John Robert from Crystal Lake. Give it up, John. Welcome to the Ragman Show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad we can finally do this.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. It's so funny. Guys, just real quick, last week we had, I guess, a little miscommunication. We didn't get it done, and I was so amped to do it. And, like, I started bugging the promotions guys. Like, I got to talk to John because I'm loving this Crystal Lake record. We have to talk, and we made it happen. Here we are.
I'm glad we did, dude. I'm glad we did. I've done, God, I'm not going to lie, it's upwards of 30 interviews since I came home in October and to now at the end of January or into middle of February like this. Like, I'm not going to lie, I think I've only missed like one or two. But they're not easy to juggle because I, like, you know, like today I set an alarm. I got something to do. And then my daughter's like screaming. And I figure, you know, I'm doing something else. And it's just, you know. You get super sidetracked. Anyone with kids knows exactly what I mean. You think a minute had passed, and now all of a sudden the day is over.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, I mean, I'm lucky. Mine's about to turn 23 in a few months, but I remember those days.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Dude, the alarm went off for me to do this, and I was like, okay, hold on. I'm going to do this real quick, and then I got a text from John like, yo, are you good? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm there. I was like, sorry.
Oh, no worries, man. No worries. We got it done. So, hey, first off, congratulations on The Way to Sound. Out now on Century Media Records. What a killer, pummeling fucking record it is. But before we jump into the record, I'm so curious. So the band's been around since 2002. Here we are 24 years later. You're the new singer as of about 3 years ago. And this band's from Japan. I don't know how good their English is or how they poached you from your previous band, but how did you get into Crystal Lake? It's an interesting story for me.
Yeah, I have an interesting life story in general.
I got you.
But specifically talking about Crystal Lake, I left the last 10 seconds of life, in about February of 2022, I think it was. About 8 months passed. I did a lot of soul searching and wound up all of a sudden in the fall hearing that Crystal Lake needed a singer. And I tried to use my connections to reach out to them, because usually when you do an audition, when a bigger band does an audition, it's because they are having a harder time doing it on their own. So I immediately tried to use my resources to reach out. I heard that they had this real big plan for a YouTube series, and they wanted me to do the audition process. And I was like, okay. And just basically because of Lamb Goat and them having an audition and me having, you know, the care to do it, is pretty much how it happened. And then once they saw my video, we started texting back and forth. We did a couple more videos with each other, like a couple live sessions. They were happy there, and then they invited me out to Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was expensive as hell. I'm still paying it off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They fly me out there all the time now. I don't have to pay for it, but that time I paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a wild experience, dude. You know, being... Two things kind of happened in that experience. Like, when you travel to the other side of the world, you would think, like, going to a new place like that by yourself, really, is terrifying. And for me, being a traveler already, it kind of just felt like tour. And because I was already coming out of a band where we already didn't hang out, you know what I mean? So,
oh, wow, okay.
It felt normal to be on tour and not be with my band. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The only part of it that felt strange was when I would be on stage and it wasn't my guys. It was new dudes. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But they made me feel at home. You know, I felt good on stage there. That felt right. When I first came out and I did Mephisto, that I felt like it was my band. You know,
when we
played, like, it felt like, okay. That's how I felt in Last 10. When I first joined Last 10, I remember practicing with them and being like, this feels like it's mine. And that's why I like it. Like, there are some bands, singers will tell you, you sing a song and it just feels like a song that you can sing, right?
Yeah.
This felt like it was me when I did it. And I was like, okay, I like this. And that's how I kind of, you know, that's kind of how it happened. And I jumped through all their hoops that, you know, in a positive way that they needed, and we went that way, you know.
Well, as far as them being from Japan, was there any kind of communication problem, or all the guys speak pretty fluent English? So,
that's actually a great question also. I'm sorry I didn't touch on that. They have gotten way better at English than when it first started. But I'll tell you right now, when I first did the interview with them on Zoom and I could actually speak to them, I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, shit, dude, because, like, they can't talk to me. They had two people there. No, it was just one person. I had Masan sitting there, and he was like he was translating English for them.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, ooh, this could be harder than we all thought it may have expected. Then I got there and it was better, but a lot of the same. Gaku is probably the best at English in the band at the time. I definitely needed somebody to talk with me and YD when we first discussed the band, because he couldn't follow everything that I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Also, especially because being from New York, I talk really fast, and they were like, what are you saying, dude? Like, slow down.
Oh, yeah.
So, at first, it was scary. And but because they are them and their culture is who it is, they learned, they bettered their English leagues faster than I have bettered my Japanese. For me, I have to physically dedicate moments and chunks of life to learning Japanese and sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to only do this. And that's kind of difficult for me when I'm home, and it's difficult on tour for multitude of reasons. So I try to pick up on my Japanese as I talk to them. So it's happening slowly, but I'm still getting it. I'm still doing it, right? They, on the other hand, are really good at hearing something once and it's in there. Like, I tell YD a word and we talk about it for 3 minutes, that's it. He knows the word. Like, I can't do that. They tell me words, we talk about it for 10 minutes, and 20 minutes go by, and I'm like, yo, what's that
word again? I get that. Like, I get that.
That's why my nickname is Chahan Robert C. in the band. Because I am fried rice. Chahan is fried
rice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, dude, I guess just one more question related to that. Were they seeking an American vocalist, or do you just kind of fit the bill for like, oh shit, this is really what we want?
I don't think they were seeking an American vocalist. No, I think they actually really wanted a Japanese vocalist, but they didn't find what they needed.
Yeah, gotcha.
Japanese people can be respectfully timid, meaning like, oh, I might cause them some trouble with how my work schedule is. I'm not going to try. Right. But that person might be incredibly talented, but just their culture of mindfulness might have deterred some people. On the flip side of that, in America, what deterred a lot of people that would have probably beaten me, is the fact that it said you need to know Japanese, and me being the asshole that I am, I was like, I'll learn Japanese later.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
And I just auditioned. A lot of people I know probably had a fantastic voice and were like, damn, but I can't speak Japanese.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And I was like, whatever, dude. We'll You're go like, to school later. This is rock and roll, man. Like,
yeah.
But that's just how the stars work. You know, that's nobody's fault. It doesn't make anybody wrong or anything. It's just like, I'm a dick and they're really respectful. So this is how it worked out.
Yeah, I pride myself in being an asshole. Well, that's awesome. Well, I tell you what, let's get into the band. I guess our last record before the new one was Helix. You get into the band, and what an interesting band they are. So I want you to describe the band sound the best you can, because there's so many things going on with this band where they're kind of progressive. They're this brutal, kind of heavy, heavy, extreme metal thing going on. There's some metalcore. There's a lot of stuff going on. How would you best describe the sound of the band?
They are what I've always called as a reverse deathcore band. Most deathcore, and they're not deathcore, they're a metalcore band. This is what makes them a metalcore band, but they are a reverse deathcore band. Let me explain. Most deathcore bands are a death metal band that will randomly play hardcore parts, right? And it gets hardcore all of a sudden, definition-wise, right? Air quotes there. So reverse deathcore, for me, they sounded like the Ghost Inside, and then all of a sudden the Ghost Inside just decided, we're going to play death metal real fast.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. And I was like, yo, this is exactly what I want to do. And I had heard them after coming out of My Bitter End, and Crystal Lake is very, very My Bitter End to me. The way that they are frantic and creative and crazy and do whatever they want, the way that they are off a stage and party together, like, that's all very My Bitter End. And watching them be able to do something that I heard a lot of other guitar players act like they couldn't do, like when I wanted to play hardcore parts and then play death metal parts in that order, people would act like that wasn't something their brain could make sense of. And I always use Crystal Lake as a reference once I heard them, like, yo, this is what I'm talking about. And I've been saying that forever. Anyone that is listening to this, if you've ever tried to play music with me before I joined you know, last 10, you know that I've been trying to do this hardcore death metal once in a while thing. And yeah. I really think that because Japanese bands are very open-minded, very border-crossing, I think their country allowed that to happen socially. You know what I mean? That was something that maybe we fought a little bit over here, but over there they were like, oh yeah, let's do it. Because you got ska metalcore bands over there that are like,
oh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun. And it's their band, you know, awesome. The band is Tim. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's crazy, you know?
Well, how does the writing process go within the band? I'm assuming maybe you do the lyrics and they come up with all the music, or how does that work?
So, they do all the YD does all the music, and I do all of the vocals, patterns and lyrics, melodies, everything. What YD does with the vocals is he treats me like an actor.
Oh,
and he
okay.
uses himself like a great director, basically. And if I act in a way that doesn't fit the part, he'll be like this. Make it feel like this, right?
Oh, gotcha.
Do that. And then I'll go back to the drawing board and I'll make something up. If I make something up that doesn't fit the part, he'll show me what the part is and then I'll write it in. I'll write it again. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm always writing the parts. And YD does his best to kind of like direct when needed type of thing. You know what I mean? So that gives me a lot of freedom to kind of like do what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a real unique approach to co-writing vocals with someone because it's something that I've done my entire career. And this was great because I got to do it. He just, you know what I mean, shed the light on parts that he wanted me to do, which in previous bands, people would just do it and then be like, now you do it. And it's like, okay. And they'd be like, yeah, but it doesn't sound like authentic. And I'm like, yeah, because it's not mine. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do it. You know, I should do it like this. And then I would do my part. Everyone in the room would be like, yo, that's the way you should do it. And then that one person who we won't talk about will be like, oh, nah, I know better. It should be like that.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's how it was in the previous band.
Oh, it's
not like that here.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Well, I tell you what, let's jump into the record. Again, it's called The Weight of Sound. The first track I want to bring up is Crossing Nails. Really cool song. One of the things I find so interesting is as right before you're going into the second verse, there's this riff that reminds me of Testament and Metallica, like old school riff. And I fucking love it, dude. It's so cool. Can you tell me a little bit about that song? It's so cool, man.
I remember I was holding my daughter, I think it was, when I first heard the riff, and I made immediate stink face and had my kid in my arms and like kind of like slightly head back, and I was there's no way right now. So I love that part. It used to be a little different. I can't say I prefer the old way because it never really expanded on it, but it was equally heavy. It was just a little bit different. But that song is about lyrically is about my struggles with my family, about how they used the church as like a weapon in my life rather than someplace for me to find direction. So that's really more of my grandparents' fault, probably specifically my grandmother, who is someone I love dearly. It's not like a bad thing. It's just she's sometimes too good for her own good, I guess. And yeah, that song is just about the way it felt to feel like I couldn't trust the church. And, you know, now growing up, I believe in God, but I don't like the church still. I won't do anything church-wise. You know, I am the church. I don't need to go someplace because you threw buildings together and put some prick in there with a fucking collar on. Like, that doesn't mean shit to me. Like, you know, God, if there's a connection with God, it's through me because we are God, right? So I don't want to hear any of that other shit.
No, I get it.
But I still believe. I still, you know, I still understand the Bible and all that. Like, I just, you know, not with the building.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't like the building. And the motherfuckers inside the building.
Well, I think a lot of people get soured by these TV churches and these greedy bastards going up there, getting the money. I mean, there's a guy here in Houston named Joel Osteen. You probably heard of him. And I think he said, we go by his church. I call it the devil church because I think he's the devil. And it's so great when he gets exposed and he gets freaked out on a bunch of stuff when he's doing stuff that he shouldn't be doing. But I don't know. These people just flock to it. I don't get it. I don't get it. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing. But yeah.
That brings up the sinner.
Oh, what dude.
Dude, I love that song. I love when it gets kind of the mellow stuff. The little mellow guitar stuff is so cool. When the guys, because with your songs, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen next. It could be pummeling your head and you're like, oh, wow, it's so soft and pretty. I see the daylight
it's
now.
It's super vibrant. I love it. Yes.
So tell me about the sinner.
So Sinner is got a very interesting story. So I kind of don't know where to start. I guess so we'll start for, I guess it's the beginning of it. I'm in the audition. I'm in a hotel room. I get sent the song. All three of us get sent the song to we want you to write to this while you're here.
Uh-huh.
I want you to write two verses and a chorus, I think it was. And I remember writing that. And like pretty quickly, and I don't know how to explain this without pissing off my band because they don't like when I talk about certain things. Like certain things are cool in America that aren't cool there, and I don't like to cross. So like I like to do certain things before I write. You know what I mean?
Got you.
You know, maybe as an American, you know what I'm trying to say. Whatever.
But oh, yeah,
that's the first time in Asia I didn't have access to anything that I would normally do. And I was completely raw-dogging it. And I was like, we're going to write this song now, dude. Here
raw-dogging it. I love that, man.
You know, on a completely different time schedule. When I wrote the song, I really liked the patterns, but and I really enjoyed the chorus. The chorus was solid from the get-go. However, the lyrics were very soulless to me the entire time, and I never really liked the lyrics. The only part of the lyrics that I actually enjoyed was the very end when it gets nice and light and airy, and it's because those lyrics come from my brother who passed away, Mikey, and he wrote those, the end lyrics. The sangria buries itself deep within my soul. That's from Mikey. So I loved that, and I loved how it did that in the song, and it kind of reminded me of how he would sing it. And that's a part that YD, the melody is a part that YD helped write. But we get to the studio, we record it in the audition. YD loves it. Management loves it. Fast forward, we re-record it in the studio. Everyone loves it. Management loves it. Gaku loves it. I still don't like this song.
Oh, wow.
I am feeling like the lyrics don't say anything. I felt like the vocals were not exciting. And I had come home from a 5-month tour from them, and I got home and I got readily available, and I dove into 5 or 6 different songs and rewrote Sinner. And ultimately, Sinner is about how I can't stop fucking up and I can't get out of my own way. And I love to press the red button. I am a sinner. And that's what the entire song is about. And the chorus, I added a little bit of the tail end on one of the lines to give it like more of like a singing thing and less of this, like, because the original version, I didn't like the singing. The singing sounded like feminine keyboards, and I was like, I can't sing like that, and I don't sing like that. And they liked it, and I guess it's just because of other music they've heard that they enjoy. And I was like, oh, it's got to have more like to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when I was home and I was doing it, YD was like, dude, whatever you do this time, that's the song, like, or it's not on the album.
Yeah,
pick one. You know what I mean? He's like, because we can't do the song 8 times. And I was like, I know. I was like, funny enough, the song is about how I'm a fuck up. So here it is. And they were like, okay, good. This is great. This is cool. They really didn't want me to change it because they loved it already. It took a little dancing around what was originally there and fitting my new nuances into the previous timing that made them like it, you know what I mean? So that was a little bit of a dance in it, but yeah, that song was definitely, that's probably that's the song that probably took the longest to record on the album. Just because everyone has been stoked on it the entire time, but I failed to see who it was in me for a long time, and that was, you know, until I can say that about a song, it's not done. Because
yeah,
I don't like to write about random things, because I'll probably say something I don't mean.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Like,
well, I love that you didn't settle. And you're like, guys, I got to do it again. It's not working for me. And they're like, yeah, oh, it's great. Right. It's like, well, it's great for you. It's not good for me. So that's awesome, man. So are you happy with the finished product now?
Yeah. I love Sinner now. Sinner's one of my favorite songs to play live, because we have been playing it live for quite some time. It is definitely more... it's got a lot more highs in it at the end of the song live. I like to do them, and it adds this different chaotic dynamic to it that we didn't want to do on the album. We wanted the song to have this like mellowness, but live it's got some highs in it that give it this like really like my better end thing.
Oh, nice.
But it's just a very chaotic sound, and we didn't want to do that for the album.
Well, I got to bring up another one. It's probably my favorite because I keep singing one lyric, Never Sleep. But I'm walking around and I'm like, It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be okay. Dude, so catchy. I love that lyric. I love the video, too. It's kind of cool with the AI stuff going on. And then I like where you're, like, you're singing and the guys are all drinking and partying. I mean, tell me a little bit about the video shoot and then tell me about the song, because I'm always curious, are you really partying like that? Or is it just props? And then, you know, when you see the final result and you're growing horns and spikes out of your head and you see, like, Egyptian shit, you're like, wow, you have no idea that's going on when you're recording it. But kind of tell me a little bit about that process as well as the song.
Five legs deep, my vision's blurry and weak. Gasp me, blood and never feed the beast. Never sleep.
Recording the song, it was cold, and then really hot. So we did it after a set, and then we did it before we filmed all of Everblack. So in the music video, they are not drinking, but they are already drunk.
Got you.
So the bottles were empty, and they were like, we need bottles for the music video. They're like, we have all this liquor that we've drank.
Oh, they drank all the props?
Right, they already, no, it wasn't even props. It was just the after party. We were at the after party.
Oh, got you.
Next to the after party at the venue we just played. And we were like, we need alcohol. They're like, okay, we drank five of these already. So, and then in the video, they're not drinking, but they are already wasted. Then in the music video, it looks like we're in a cave. We are actually in a cave. We found a mine. It's not a visual edit in the music video when we're in the cave and there's all that stuff behind us that looks like space. That's just black mold and a light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So as far as the lyrics go, that song is relatively completely true. It is about my time in My Bitter End and my time in Crystal Lake, because they party very similar, except Crystal Lake doesn't have the cops worried about it. So they definitely do like to drink, but the song originally is written in between me leaving The Last 10 Seconds of Life and me joining Crystal Lake. I write a song about people who drink and have a problem, and I'm using it for a band that I'm trying to start, and I wind up writing a banger of a song with this band. I still have the chorus in my pocket, so eventually you'll hear it. Banger of a song, and we wind up not working out, and then I wind up joining Crystal Lake. And when I'm joining Crystal Lake, I realize, like, well, these dudes rage just like my old band did this back in the day. This is crazy. I love this. This is, I feel like I'm a kid again. This is wild. And I don't party anymore. So I've just got to watch all this. Like, it's like being on the set of Jackass, basically. And they're nuts. Yeah. They are. I mean that when I say that. And so when it came time to write the lyrics for this song, I was like, Mitsudo is constantly saying the words never sleep. Because I'm always joking around with them, because I'll wake up in the morning. I'm an early riser on tour and at home. And I'll wake up in the morning and they're still awake partying in the lounge or the bus. Like,
oh, wow.
They're wide awake. And I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? They're like, John. Never sleep. We never sleep. And they're like, yeah, die today. Never sleep. Right? And like, and they're nuts. Dude, I woke up one time in Okinawa. They were sniffing coffee and squirting water out of a friend's eye. They were squeezing lime juice into their eyes and sniffing salt and taking shots of tequila.
Oh, wow.
They're psychos. They're
another level.
Dude, they were choking each other one morning to see who was going to tap out first. I had to break them up because they weren't going to do it. And I was like, yo, someone's going to die or come, and both of those are not going to be fun for us. Yeah, so we have to stop. Yeah. I was like, what are we going to call this? And I was like, never sleep. Never sleep is going to be the chant in the song because it's something that they say all the time. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Not anymore. Not anymore. That is a shout out for my love for the Red Chord. It's not nice. Funny.
Yeah.
Right? That's my favorite gang chant of my entire fucking life. The Red Chord is one of my favorite bands ever. And I felt like that vibe fit that part so right. So I was like, it's not going to be all right. It's not going to be okay. Not anymore.
Oh, wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So that's how that came about. But it was such a fun song to write. And I'll tell you right now, if you ever want to get into a Crystal Lake show for free, if you got some Red Chord merch, I will let you bitch ass in. I want that shit. Bring me that fucking Red Chord merch. Let's go. I want that shit.
Nice. Well, last song I want to bring up is the title track, The Weight of Sound. I love how it starts. You're going to laugh. There's a band called House of Lords, and they were an 80s hair metal band. You probably never heard of them. They were kind of big in the mid to late 80s, right before the hair metal stuff got killed. But that very beginning sounds like one of their songs. And in my head, I've got this bass line going on that's not in your song, of course. It's called The Edge of Your Life, the House of Lords. Yeah. If you get bored, check it out. You'll hear it. You're like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. But anyway, dude, great song. I do want to ask you about, you know, going from clean to the growly, brutal voicing that you normally do, but you do sing some clean vocals. Is it really hard going back and forth? Does it hurt your voice when you're doing the growly stuff, or are you going for the diaphragm to where you have a way to control it?
Not anymore. It used to be hard. It used to be very difficult, but joining Crystal Lake brought that out of me. It was something that I started when I was in my bitter end. It was difficult. I would be worried that if I was going to scream too much, I wouldn't be able to sing. Then when I joined Last 10, I got more comfortable singing and screaming, but it was more of a raspy singing. They didn't want me to do the regular cleans. Then once I joined Crystal Lake, I had to do cleans. So out of a necessity of being able to just be able to do the job, I forced myself to do it. Crystal Lake has pushed me. Crystal Lake has shown me that I can probably do anything that I need to do musically, because they've forced me to do so many things that I thought I was for certain I could not do. And they were like, well, you have to. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, it used to be hard, but through the grace of the metal gods, I have learned the ways of singing and screaming. And actually, screaming is harder than singing. And singing is way more fun than screaming, as far as a singer goes. I know that might sound really crazy to say, but singing a part that locks the fuck in feels... So, like, take the feeling that you get when you're screaming and you lock in, and just imagine that, like, a millionfold. That's how it felt for me. I was like, holy shit, dude. I'd say all the time... which is how we wound up with songs like Coma Wave. Mm-hmm. I would rather sing than scream. I want to sing. Let's play. What do I keep saying? I think it's called, it's a Crystal Lake song. Not Don't Breathe. I forget what it is, but there's a Crystal Lake song, Just Breathe, right? Just Breathe. Mm-hmm. That I want to play that all the time because I think it's an amazing way to break up a really heavy set and do something soft. So now Just Breathe is one of those. Coma Wave is another one. I really wanted to play Metro, and we did play Metro a couple of times at practice, but he saw, can't fucking play it, so we don't. But man, I absolutely love rock and roll and clean singing. I sing to the Foo Fighters and to Frank Sinatra regularly.
Awesome.
I love Frank. Like, those are big influences for me.
Awesome, man. Well, John, before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
I want to tell you to follow your dreams, but don't lose who you are along the way. Have two dreams. You need two of them. You don't need one. You need two. Remember that. Always remember to follow two dreams. Stay in school. Drink them.
Last question, real quick. Tour plans. I want you to come to Texas. I want to see you guys live because I know you're going to kill. Do you have any big tour plans coming up this year?
So nothing that I'm able to talk about, but I really hope that we're able to announce it soon because I'm super excited about it, and I think that we'll be seeing each other.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Well, guys, I want you to check out Crystal Lake and their brand new record, The Weight of Sound, out now on Century Media Records. But before we let you go, John and I have something very special to do for you. Oh!